Pasuk, Perek Zayin Pasuk Aleph, it says, Ve'yiki Yashav HaMelech Bebezov Hashem Yiniach Lo Misaviv Mikol Eivov. So the king was living in his house, and Hashem allowed him to be calm. There was, everything was good from all around, from all of his enemies, meaning all of his enemies, you know, sort of like stopped, and everything was all good. The Aron was in a permanent location, everything was all good. The king said to Nelson and Avi, said, look, you know, I'm sitting in a house of cedar wood. The Aron Elohim Yoshib is Sokhiriya. And the Aron of God is sitting, you know, behind curtains. Okay, it's not the right thing to do. Meaning, I have a certain amount over here and everything's all good. I want the base of Mikdash to start being built. Nelson said to the king, Nelson and Avi said, not through Nevuah. He says, listen, everything you do, HaKadosh Baruch has been with you the entire time. So whatever you want to do, go ahead and do it. Nothing enough. He assumed, maybe even correctly, that David Melech had Ruach HaKodesh the entire time, that everything he said was as if the Shekhinah was speaking through his mouth. So when you say you want to build the base of Mikdash, clearly that's the way to do it. Okay? The Aron Elohim came up to Yerushalayim. Probably this is the idea as well. What's up, Nathaniel?
You said that he probably did have Ruach HaKodesh, meaning that this was correct?
Yeah, in other words, there must have been something that made David Melech think this way. That made him think this way. It wasn't just Tom like a thought that came to his head. Nothing of you reasoned that there must be something behind it. Now the halacha is that you can't build up the base of Mikdash until there's peace among all the nations and there's a king. There is a king. David Melech is the official king. And not only that, but there's also going to be, I mean, there's definitely peace. And that's why I started off by saying there was peace around everybody completely.
Where do we know that from?
From the Parak Pasagawa.
No, that those requirements have to be
based on the order of the Pesukim in the Torah. It doesn't talk about it directly, but it says Nachla v'Yeshiva by the Melech being made. Oh. So you do have something, and something's up there.
Okay.
Now it says V'Yibay Laila, who it wasn't that Avi Dvar Shemel Nelson Lamor. Then the word of God came to Nelson and Avi saying. Now he said immediately. The first thing was go right now to David Melech. You can't wait at all. And the reason why is because it could be that David Melech is going to start building it even right now. Because that's the way Governor Melech is. When Governor Melech gets a certain idea in his head and he says, I want to build the base of Mikdash, you gave him an okay, he will do it right now. Number two, Governor Melech takes oaths in order to do something. He might get up and he'll say, I make a nether that I'm going to build the base of Mikdash this morning. I'm not going to eat or drink until the base of Mikdash is built. That's something that David Melech would do. So you better go over there right now and make sure that there's something there. Leich v'matzalati el David, go and tell my servant David Melech, Kol Amar Hashem Mo'asa Tivnuli Bayis L'Shipti. So says God, are you going to be the one to build a base of Mikdash for me to live in? Now, the reason why is, number one, you have killed people. You've shed blood a lot. Anybody who does that cannot make a house of the base of Mikdash in which I rest my name, which is the name of peace, the Shekhinah, which is the resting place. There's no way. You need Shalom for that to be. That's number one. You're a man of war, you can't do it. Number two, there is not complete peace yet. Although right now you're doing okay. The Plishtim are still alive. Amalek is still alive. Moab and Ammon are still alive. Aram Tzoba is still alive. There's not complete peace around you. You don't have complete tranquility with all of your neighbors. That's not good enough. That's not good enough. This is not a complete peace that you want. Number three, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said that if you go ahead and build the base of Mikdash, then you got to major problem. I can't destroy it. A base of Mikdash made by somebody like you that's that powerful will never be able to be destroyed if need be. So David Melech said, perfect, it'll never be destroyed. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, but then I have to kill the people. If I don't have a base of Mikdash to take out my wrath on, right, my anger, so to speak, then that's going to happen to the people themselves. So more people will die because you're building up the base of Mikdash. Nonetheless, because he really wanted to build up the base of Mikdash was called by him. It's always called Base David Avdi, the house of David, my servant. Even after Shlomo Melech built it, David Melech was the one who everything was chosen for that itself. Okay, that's that. There's a famous line. So David Melech couldn't build the base of Mikdash itself. Instead, he was able to build the foundations of the base of Mikdash, meaning basically what the foundations were. He dug into the earth 1,500 amos, give or take. That's about 3,000 feet. Okay, not exactly, but about 3,000 feet down into the earth. That's pretty good. That's a half mile down into the earth. Okay, to consider that with old-time tools and whatever they had. I mean, he's getting close to the mantle. I have no idea how far it is down there, but it can't be that much further over there. He found a layer of clay covering up the deep waters. He tried to dig up the clay, and the clay said to David Melech, it would be wise not to do so. Don't lift up this clay, for I've been pressed up against the deep waters to hold them back. He said, David, how long have you been here for? They said, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu said at Har Sinai, that I am Hashem your Lord, Anokhi Hashem Elokecha, the earth trembled and shook. It settled and sunk. And since then, I've been pressed up against the deep waters that if I'm taking away, the deep waters will come back and drown the world. David was not convinced and began to dig up the clay. Now, I'm not so sure I wouldn't have been convinced at that point, since the clay is talking to you. By the way, he did so. Immediately, the deep waters began to ascend, threatening to drown the earth. Achitophel was there, and he did nothing. He said, David HaMelech will drown and die, and I will be made king. But the king made a decree. Anybody who knows how to prevent the deep waters from ascending and doesn't act will die by strangulation. Achitophel said a certain shame of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, or he told David HaMelech to write the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu on a certain piece of paper and throw it down inside the waters. Either way, the waters ceased. At that point, David HaMelech began to say over Shir HaMalos, the song of ascents. But there were 15 levels that he went down. That's what it meant, 1,500 amos all the way down inside the sea itself. Either way, Achitophel, because he had said this and he didn't say it in the first place, he waited for David HaMelech to say something, he did die by strangulation. We all know what happened, right? He killed himself later on. And that's all because he didn't say anything at the very, very beginning. Either way, regardless, he managed to prepare everything. He made huge stones that were 10 feet deep, 7 feet wide, 15 feet long, that they were saving to be able to use for the Beis HaMikdash itself. However, Shlomo HaMelech did not use a single thing of David HaMelech's. Now why? Because David HaMelech's riches all came from fighting other nations and taking their spoils. He was worried that if they made the Beis HaMikdash with those spoils, the people who originally owned these things would come back and say, hey, we want our stuff back, and they'll fight the Beis HaMikdash. So Shlomo HaMelech instead only made it out of tributes. Tributes brought him from other places, that's what he made it out of. So even though David HaMelech had prepared all these things, this would be a lot better so people won't come back and say, hey, I want my stuff back. No, this is your tribute, you gave it to me, that's the reason why we're using it for.
What's up? Change that though.
Mm-hmm. What do you mean?
Eventually at some point we start using captured materials for Beis HaMikdash.
Well, we're going to see when we get to Shlomo HaMelech, we're going to talk about all the things that they used. But David, Shlomo HaMelech, as much as he could, used material that David HaMelech did not prepare to make it easier for them.
What did they do with all the stuff?
And the extra stuff? They used it for the Otzer. They could sell it off for money for the treasury. So whatever they needed, yeah.
Didn't we use concrete stuff for the Mishkan? We didn't have anything when we left.
Well, the kasha is what they had. There's no question that they changed it, but yeah, it came from Mitzrayim. But that's okay, because the point of what we were trying to do when making the Mishkan itself, and aside from the fact the Egyptians aren't there anymore to complain about it, right? They all died at Kriyas Yamsuf, but that was our money for doing all the avdus for 210 years in Mitzrayim. That was via the Besisa's claim in the Gemara in Sanhedrin. I don't know, Aleph, making that up, but somewhere in the Tzadis, right? It might be Tzadi Aleph on the base. That's that. Anyway, Kaluya Shafi Vavayis Lini Yom HaLusias Ben Yisrael Mi Mitzrayim Ad Yom HaZeh. I have not sat in the house from the day that I brought up Ben Yisrael from Mitzrayim until today. Vayam Yishalat Po'ol HaMishkan. I've gone about in an oil and a Mishkan. Said HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I haven't asked for a bias. I'm okay with living in temporary places. I'm okay with that. V'Kaluya Shalit HaLakta V'Kol Ben Yisrael, wherever I've gone throughout Ben Yisrael, HaDavar Dibarti Yazachat Shif Yisrael, have I ever asked even one of the Shafi Mis Israel that I have commanded to take care, to shepherd my people Israel. Laymore, Lo and Lumines and Lebes Arazin. Why haven't you built me a house of cedar wood? Have I ever asked them that? Have I ever asked for a base of Mikdash? I haven't yet. So I know, David HaMelech, that your intentions are noble, but I haven't said anything yet. I haven't asked for it, and therefore it's not the time yet. That's all. Kosh my love, dear David. This is what you should say to my servant to David. You should know like this, okay? David, don't feel bad about what I'm saying. Don't feel like you're being rejected, but God is rejecting you from building up the Beis HaMikdash. Okay, know that I took you from the sheep hell, you know, the sheep herds, from all the sheep and everything like that, from the sheep that were there. Leo's Nagid Alami El Yisrael, to be the prince over all my people on Bnei Yisrael. I didn't just choose anyone. I chose you specifically because you helped the sheep. I saw that you didn't let the larger sheep graze until the smaller sheep grazed first. I saw what you were able to do over here. So because of that, I know what kind of a person you are. They say as a side note, by the way, that Rabbi Avohu from Rabbi Yochanan says that here is the time that Moshe Rabbeinu, that David HaMelech set up the Mishmaros, the 24 Mishmaros of the Kuna. He either made 12 or 24, but either way. I was with you in everything you did, and I've cut off, and I will continue to cut off all of your enemies from in front of you. I've made you a great name. You're famous throughout all the land. You have everything that you could possibly have over here, right? You have everything you could possibly need. Okay? That is that. Now, altogether, there are four topos that David HaMelech did. Number one, he elevated David HaMelech from just a sheep herder to become the king. Number two, God was with him wherever he went, even when running away from his enemies. Number three, Hashem cut off all of David's enemies, including Doeg HaAdomi and Shaul HaMelech. Number four, David HaMelech, his fame spread far and wide throughout the entire world. In fact, David HaMelech was even known as the fourth leg of the three Avos. He almost was the fourth Av, to the point where Malava Malka is in honor of David HaMelech. Friday night meal is for Yitzchak Avinu. Shabbos day is for Avram Avinu. Boker is always Avram. And Mincha is referring to Yaakov Avinu. That's kind of Shlemus in the completion. I know, wait, Yitzchak Davin Mincha and Yaakov Davin, I understand.
Yeah.
Either way, but it's like that. David HaMelech is Malava Malka. And almost Malava Malka became a regular meal along with all of Shabbos. Almost he was there. But he's not the same. Vaskisi, if you look at the word Vaskisi over here in Pasuk Tes, there's no Yud. Because he was not like the others. There was something a little bit missing. You know all we can tell? Baruch Ato, Hashem, Elokeinu, Elokei Avoseinu, Elokei Abraham, Elokei Yitzchak, Elokei Yaakov. There is no Elokei David. Did you know that there is an opinion from the Baal Tosus, the Rabbeinu Tam, that says, Baruch Ato Hashem, Elokei David, Bonei Yerushalayim. I don't say that. The Rabbeinu Tam did. I don't know where that comes from, unfortunately. It's from the Yerushalmi Talmud, and Rabbeinu Tam paskins that way. So I don't know where he says that. I'm assuming it's somewhere in Brachos, and I just totally missed it somewhere. But there is an opinion that says you say Elokei David. Pretty good, no?
That the word in the beginning of Pasuk Tet, the Ayah, mm-hmm. could mean that I will be with you. Does that make sense?
Yeah, we were saying that not only have I destroyed your enemies, but I will destroy your enemies in the future as well. He's giving them a promise. Something makom lam Yisrael netativ. I fixed the place for my people for Israel, and I planted them there in Eretz Yisrael. They should dwell there. They should no longer have any problems. There should no longer be evil people to afflict them the way it was originally. And that means in Mitzrayim. From the day that I commanded the Shoftim on all my people Israel, and at that time there was peace from all of your enemies, meaning the Shoftim had peace. God will then tell you that a house will be made for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He never did. Some say this is a criticism of the Shoftim, that they never tried to make the base maker. The first person who tried was David. Nonetheless, your days will be fulfilled, and you will sleep with your fathers, and I'll set your children on the throne after you, that will come from your stomach. Right now we'll prepare your malchus, right? And it will be set, and everything will be all good. By the way, notice over here it says, Asher Yetzim Mimeacha, a child that will come from your stomach. Sounds like the child hasn't been born yet, and he hasn't been. Shlomo Melech was not born yet. By the way, next, who even at Bayis Lishmi? He, that next person, he will build the base of Mikdash for my name, and I will set up the Kisei of his Malchus forever and ever. There are seven Tovos mentioned over here. Number one, David was going to live a full 70 years. That's number one. Number two, that's Kiyum Liyamecha. Number two, you are not going to die in battle. You will die on your bed. That's what it means. You will lie with your fathers. Number three, your son will not usurp the throne from you, but rather he will take care of you. Number four, it's a new kid that's going to be born. You're going to have more children, and that child is going to end up being the king. Number five, it says, "Vachinosi es mamlachto." I will secure his kingdom. As soon as he goes up, the kingdom will be established in all he is. Number six, who even abides with me, the base of Mikdash will be made in my name, and it'll be a huge place with tons of money. Number seven, "Shchanati es kisei mamlachto ad olam." I will make his kingdom forever and ever, and it won't be any problem whatsoever. That's that. So even though, what was the big bracha over here? You think that maybe David HaMelech's throne should be ended early. Maybe David HaMelech should die early because then the Beis HaMikdash could be made earlier, right? Wouldn't that be? And that's actually what the detractors of David HaMelech used to say. They used to go around and say, David HaMelech, when are you going to die so you can build the Beis HaMikdash? And David HaMelech said, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, kill me now. It's okay. I'd rather have that happen. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, it's better for me to have you and your learning than 1,000 olos that Shlomo HaMelech is going to give on top of the Mizbeach of the Beis HaMikdash. I'd rather have you than anybody else there. I will be his father. This is what Hashem is saying about Shlomo Melech. Hu yeli l'bein, and he'll be my child. If he does evil, if he does something bad, I will give him Musar with the rod of man, and with the misfortunes of the people that they get. Now there is going to be a schus that he's going to have, but if Shlomo Melech goes down, I'm not going to take him away from the throne. He's not going to lose the throne. That's not going to happen. Instead, I'm going to punish him. Some say that this is a remez to Ashmadai, king of the demons, taking over the kingdom of Shlomo Melech, which happened according to the Gemara in Gittin over there in Ayin Zayin in the beginning of the 7th parak, Misha Achzu Kodaikis, right? So that's what it's referring to over here, and that's what it means.
What?
You don't know that. You've got to see the Gemara. In the end, Shlomo Melech captured Ashmadai, king of the demons, in order to find the Shamir worm, which they needed for the what's it called? And the Shamir worm was needed for the building of the Beis HaMikdash itself. And Shlomo Melech, right? Shlomo Melech was taken down from his kingdom. Ashmadai fooled him.
How long?
To be Shlomo. Question: how long? A couple months, maybe. It could have been a year or two. But either way, that's when he wrote Koheles. As he was trying to find his way back to Yerushalayim, he couldn't get himself back. So he said, "I need Koheles. I am Koheles. I'm the one going through all of Yerushalayim and everything like that." Okay, that's that. Pasuk Tes Vav: "B'chasti lo yosur mimenu, kasher atirosim im shol." My chesed will not be removed from him, like I removed it from Shaul, that I removed from before you. In other words, you were able to take over. He will never be replaced. Shaul Malach was replaced by you, but you are never going to be replaced. Neither will your sons be replaced. You guys will be kings forever and ever, and that's what's going to happen over here. That's the idea behind it. Okay. The faithful of your house and of your kingdom will be forever in front of you. Your throne will be secure forever, and that's a guarantee. The Davidic throne will be there at all time. Now, some say that this is conditional, as long as the kings don't keep Avodah Zarah. If the kings keep Avodah Zarah, then yes, it's going to be problematic. If the kings don't keep Avodah Zarah, then you won't have any problem whatsoever. You just have to make sure you don't keep Avodah Zarah. Easy enough, right? Yeah, the kings thought so also. That's that. All these words and all of this vision, this is what Nathan and Navi said to David Melech. He said it over straight out. Now that is a praise of Nathan and Navi. Can you imagine saying that to a king? Especially a king who you just told last night that he could build the base of Mekdash, and David Melech, who was a warrior of a king.
That
we're going to say?
I think more of the fact that he said every single one of these words. It's a very long prophecy.
Yeah, you're right. That is pretty long. Some say that this entire prophecy was also an allusion to Mashiach ben David. In some way, shape, or form, it's referring to Mashiach. Anyway, Pasuk Girchaz, Vayavol Melech David, Melech David, Vayishol Gnei Hashem. The king David went and sat in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Yomar, Mi Anochi Hashem Elokim? Mi Basic Yav Yosani Ad Halom? Who am I, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, my God? And who is my house that you have brought me all the way to this place, you have brought me to this area? Number one, David Melech was the only one. David Melech and all of his sons who were kings were able to sit down in the base of Mikdash. No other person was able to sit down in the base of Mikdash like David Melech. And that's what it means when it says, Vayeshev Lifnei Hashem, he was able to sit down. That's number one. No one else could. That's why Yerubam ben Nevat didn't want anyone to go to Yerushalayim, because if they did, they saw that Rechavam was sitting in the base of Mikdash while Yerubam could not. So nobody wanted it. He didn't want anyone to go there, so he made the little golden idols to make sure they wouldn't go there. That's number one. Number two, sitting in prayer really means that he settled himself before prayer. So he could think about what he was going to say and his proper intentions, and that his words would be the proper way. Now, nowadays, it's not as necessary as it was back then. First of all, our concentration is about that of a dead goat. That's number one. And number two, even if we did, we have the words in front of us that we can read. All you really need to know is to translate those words. That's all you really need. You don't need anything more than that. David Melech had to make up a prayer on the spot. So Vayeshev Lifnei Hashem means he sat down to think about what he wanted to say in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He sat down for a little bit to think about it, and then afterwards he decided that he was ready to do it. That's what he said. So he did hold that he had to prepare himself. Rabbi Akiva, right, was called to read from the Torah in public. He refused to go up. They asked him why. He said, "I'm not prepared." That's what Rabbi Akiva said. It's Yerushalmi, right? And that's the shot. When the Talmidim said, "Rabbi, where do you get that from?" He said, "From David Melech." David Melech didn't get up immediately after Nathan gave him the Nevuah and say a prayer. He sat down in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, thought about it for a little bit, and then after it came down. Also, another remez over here is the fact that he had a lot of anivus. He had a lot of humility. He's able to sit down in the court and listen to what the other people in the court were saying before he made his own decisions. Even this is small in your eyes, Hashem Elohim. That you also spoke of your servant's house lasting far into the future. This is the law of man, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that you know everything that's going to happen and you can tell what's going to be whenever it's going to be. Adam, by the way, stands for Adam, David, Mashiach. Get it?
No.
Aleph, Talib, Mem.
No, but I'm telling you, what does Adam have to do?
Leading from Adam to David HaMelech, who is a tikkun of David, of Adam Rishon in a way, all the way down to Mashiach, who is the, you know, the final person, you know, the real person to get up at the very, very end. That's the idea behind it. That's what he was trying to say. L'mei Rachok could be that it applies to those of his descendants who would not keep the Torah itself. That you should promise at Kadosh Baruch Hu that your promises should not be taken away even from those who wanted to keep the Torah itself, as well as Olam Haba. L'mei Rachok means that even for those who are going to be in Olam Haba, that even in Olam Haba, you should be guaranteed that there will be Tchias HaMesim or other things there that should be there for everybody there. Okay, that's that. Uma Yosef David Od L'Dabrei Lecha. What more is there for David to say to you? That's what David Melch was saying. That's why Yadatas Abdecha Adonai Hashem Elokim. You know your servant, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You know exactly what I am. You know exactly what I do. You know exactly what I need. Bavor Dvorcha Uchlipcha Asisas Kol Gdula Zos. For the sake of your word, and according to what you want, you have done all this greatness, Lodiyas Abdecha, and you have told your servant everything that needs to be done. Alkein Godalta Hashem Elokim Kein Kamocha. Therefore you are great, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because there is no one like you. Bein Elohim Zula Secha. There is no one about you or anyone. Shekol Asher Shamanu Be'azneinu. Not that we've heard with our ears. We've never heard of anything among you. Mikam Chesol Goyachad Baretz. Who is like your people Israel? They are one nation in the land. Shehocha Elokim Litzotzlo La'am. That God went to redeem them as his nation. V'lasum Lo Shein. And to give them a good name. V'lasum Lecham Agadula. And to give you or to do for you something great. V'no Rose La'atzecha. M'nei Amcha Asher Padisa. V'lacham Mimitzayim Goyim Be'elohim. Right? Because of your people that you have redeemed out of Egypt, right? For you drove out their nations and all of their gods in order to take care of. Really telling you about Hashkafa and how HaKadosh Baruch Hu is taking care of in Israel. But Kholim Lechaz Amcha Yisrael, you have secured for yourself your people. Israel Lechol Am is your person, is your people. Ad Olam forever and ever. Yat Hashem Yisrael Am Lelim, and you, God, became their God. Yat Hashem Lechim Adover, this is in Posuk Chafei. Yat Hashem Lechim Adover, Shedibarta Al Abdecha, Val Beso, Hakim Adela. Now, Hashem, the word that you spoke to your servant and on his house should be there forever. You should do exactly as you said. Your name should be great forever, saying, Hashem Tzvakos Elokim Al Yisrael, Shem Tzvakos, God over Israel, the house of your servant David should be straight, should be secured in front of you for all times. You have revealed to the ear of your servant, saying, "Vayis Abnelach, I will build a house for you." Therefore, your servant has found his heart, and he wants to daven to you this tefillah. You are a God, right? Your words are true. But you told your servant all of these good things right over there. Now continue to bless the house of your servant. They should always be in front of you. You spoke. Your bracha should be on the people forever and ever and ever. That's the idea of what's going on. Beautiful. That's the end of the tefillah of David Melech. David Melech, David Melech, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Said he understood. Now David Melech was in a quandary. So what's he going to do now? He's not going to be able to build the Beis HaMikdash. So he decided he's going to take it into his own hands. Although no one was fighting him right now, there was fear to death of David HaMelech and what he had just done to the Pelishtim. They decided it's time to make conquests. It's time to go out and take care of everyone else so that they don't fight in the future. And if I can't build the Beis HaMikdash, I'll prepare
everything.
I'll make sure that everything is peaceful and that everybody's under me for the times when Mashiach, when Shlomo HaMelech is going to be in charge. So after all that happened, Vayach David is a Pelishtim, he killed the Pelishtim. And he subdued them. He took the area called Meseg Ho'amah from the hands of the Pelishtim. Notice over here, it seems like he never asked the Urim Tumim. It could be he took it as a directive from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that since HaKadosh Baruch Hu said you have to have peace from all around you, he understood, okay, so now it's time for me to do it on my own.
You necessarily have to tell us that you have to go on the journey.
Yeah, we've done it every time up until now.
But I'm saying there could be instances where he asked the Urim Tumim a question that doesn't tell
us. Right, but we haven't seen that yet. Every time he went to war, we've seen David Melech ask the Urim Tumim.
Oh, Okay. So you're why not mention up the poor, not just asking everyone?
And that's what I mean. So over here, this could be that he understood it from what Nathan and Abi was telling him. That's a very good possibility. Either way, Gos, was more of like a, it's an area that they use, sort of like a fortitude, like a fort, where everything that they needed was right around there. So if they needed anything, they would go around. So that's the area that he captured first. He went straight to Gos and destroyed all of them. And from there, he was able to take Meseg Ha'ama. Now, what's Meseg? Meseg really means like a bridle. Okay, so it could be it's referring to a certain area that's right around there. Maybe it's called Meseg Ha'ama. Sometimes Ama could be referred to as an aqueduct or something like that. However, the line is like this. Yitzchok Avinu made a bris together with Abimelech, the king of the Plishim, that he would never hurt his children. Okay, Yitzchok Avinu's, when he agreed with Abimelech to make a treaty, he cut off an Ama-long strip of his donkey's bridle. And he gave it over to Abimelech. And that's the Meseg, the bridle, Ha'ama. That was an Amma long. He gave it over. So whenever the Plishtim were sitting there, they knew that they had Yitzchak's oath together with them. Whenever the Jews wanted to fight them, they hauled it out. They said, look, this is Yitzchak's. You can't fight us. Okay, that's the idea behind it. Now, David HaMelech was revoking the treaty. The reason why is either the time period is done. Who?
Are you allowed to do such a thing, that revoke the treaty?
Well, yeah, because either, number one, because the time frame stipulated in the initial agreement was now gone. That's number one. Number two, they had broken it already, the Plishtim, by fighting against the Jews, so they no longer had anything whatsoever.
Okay,
since they had abrogated it beforehand, they didn't feel there was anything there. By Yachas Moab, but now Pasuk Beis, he went straight for Moab. But he might have been the Chevel, and then he measured with a line. Hashkim Osam Arzi, he sat them down to the ground. But he might have Shnei Chevel and the Hamis and Loa Chevel Hachayos. Two rope lengths were the people that were going to be killed. One rope length was for the people that would live. But he Moab LeDavid LaAvodim Nosim Mincha. The people that lived, the third of Moab that lived, they were the ones who brought him tribute, and they were the ones who gave certain things. But otherwise, he went against it. Now, why? Why do you do such a thing? The reason why David HaMelech did such a thing is because remember what happened right before he went into hiding from Shaul HaMelech. He went over to Moab and brought over his family.
Moab killed him.
Nitzavis Patadol, as well as some of his brothers, and Moab killed all of them. So now he's taking the cover. This wasn't so much longer after that. Maybe 10 years after that, he went straight for them. He had no qualms about attacking them. He realized that the best thing for them right now is to be able to destroy them, because he knew what they needed and how they were to go about it and stuff like that. Some say he left over a third alive to be able to be killed by Mashiach at the end of days. And that's the reason why he went ahead and did it. And he wanted to make sure that Mashiach would have something to do and that he would destroy them at those end of days.
So what do you mean by Mashiach? That's the thing that
he would have something to do with Moab. It's funny because Moab's country, obviously, right now, doesn't exist anymore. Right, there is no such thing as Moab, but there are people there now. Mashiach is supposed to be a person who either kills the infidels, right, or takes them all in to make peace between everybody, right, as long as they believe in God, etc., etc. So it could be that his idea was to either leave them alive in order for them to be saved, or for them to be destroyed by Mashiach, whichever one they chose. This, by the way, this whole thing of him destroying Moab and doing everything that he's doing over here was all seen by Bilam. The end of Bilam's Nebu, after he gives him three brachos after Matovu, he goes on and he says, Arenu v'lo karov. I see something, but it's not close by. Right? This is the Nebuah that he saw destroying all of Moab. What David Melech was going to do over here. But Yaakov is Hadad Ezer ben Rehov. Yeah.
Rav Korshman seems to think that this is also part, that he was mentioning that seems to think that this was also partly a political type of move, that he was kind of scaring the nations into, don't mess with the Jews.
Well, there's no question, because that's what we were saying before. And
no,
Shlomo Melech was being told, Shlomo Melech needed to have peace around
this,
right?
In this way, could be.
That's what David Melech was doing. We said that before. David Melech was destroying all the nations before they did anything to him. He wanted to make sure that it would be peaceful for Shlomo so that he could build the base of Mikdash. So he killed Hadad Ezer, the son of Rehob, the king of Aram Tsova, when he went to go all the way down to the Nahar Pros, all the way down to the Euphrates River. So the way he went was all the way over here. He went all the way to Damascus, which is somewhere near where Iraq is, or maybe Syria. That's the area where he went. He was going all the way out to go to the Euphrates River. That's where he went in order to destroy them. Okay, so that's the idea behind it. Hadad Ezer originally lived within the borders of the land of Bnei Yisrael, right? David brought everything back. All the land that Hadad Ezer had taken, he was able to bring it back, and that's that. Vayokod David Mimenu, Elef Ushamios Parashim Asim Elef Ish, Ragli. David was able to capture for them 1,700 horsemen, right? 1,700 horsemen.
And 700.
No, you're skipping the word 1,000.
Oh, 1,000, okay, yeah.
The Esrim Elef Ish Ragli, and then 20,000 foot soldiers. By Akir David's Kol Arecha, by Yosef Mimenu Mea Rechet. Right? David Elef then uprooted the legs of all the chariot horses, and he left 100 chariots, right? 100 horses for the chariots, but all the others he destroyed. Now, why would he do that? Why would he go ahead? Now, number one, he might have wanted to publicize the fact that he just won a huge war against this many people. Altogether, there were 37,000 people that he just fought against, and he's able to go. So he wanted to show everybody, so he made the animals lame for that reason. That's number one. Number two, you're only allowed to have a certain amount of horses in your army, not more than that. Since David Melech already had the 400 required horses that he was supposed to have inside the army, he took the other horses that were there, and he made them lame so they wouldn't be used against him. He wasn't allowed to keep them, and he couldn't let them go, because that means people are eventually going to use them against him. So he had to make them lame so that nothing else would be used against them when it comes into battle. And although you think, Tzar Balei Chaim, why is that allowed? Tzar Balei Chaim is when you intend it to injure the animal. David Melech's intentions were no way to injure the animal. That's not what he was trying to do over here. But Aram Damesek, Lazor Lahadad Ezer Melech Tzova, Aram Damesek came to go help Hadad Ezer, the king of Tzova, the Yachdav Aram, Esim Rishnai Melech Ish, another 22,000 men, dead. Pasuk Vav, by Yosem David Nitzim, Aram Damesek, he made princes to be up in Aram Damesek, by Tia Aram Ledavid Lahabodim, Nosim Menchad, they were the people that gave him tribute, by Yosh Hashem, Nitzav Vokho Asher Aloch, and everywhere where David Melech went, he's able to conquer everything he had. Some people blame David Melech that he took on his personal conquest, like what he's doing over here, instead of taking care of what he should have done first. What should he have done first? Take care of all of Eretz Yisrael. Get rid of all the people that were living in Eretz Yisrael that were not Jewish. Should have done that first before going out on his personal conquest to Aram and Damesek and Sova and everything like that. Nonetheless, because he did this, it's all worked. David took the golden shields that belonged to the servants of Hadad Ezer. He became Yerushalayim. He brought them to Yerushalayim. From those two cities, Betach and Barosai, right? He took a ton of copper, and he all donated it to the Beis Hamikdash to be used as hektish to see what they were going to do with it. The king of Hamas, that he had destroyed all the armies of Hadad Ezer. Toi sent his son Yoram to the king David to ask him, hey, how you doing? And to bless him for waging war against Hadad Ezer, because Toi was his enemy. And that he had killed him, because a man of war was Toi with Hadad Ezer. Took along with him silver, gold, and copper, Caleb. Now, what he should have done, right, it was a problem. I know I said before that David Melech donated all the stuff to the Beis Hamikdash and none of it was used. One of the reasons we gave was because the people might complain later on and say, hey, that's our stuff that you're using for the Beis Hamikdash. We want it back, and they're going to come to wage war in order to take it back. Another answer is that there was a time when there was a rov, a hunger in Klal Yisrael, and David Melech was looking for food for the nation and couldn't find any food. What he could have done is sold all the stuff that he had saved up for the Beis Hamikdash in order to make sure that the people lived. He held you weren't allowed to sell something for Akdash in order to make a person live. But because people died from it, David Melech was blamed. And Hashem said, you think I want a Beis Hamikdash? If you donated this stuff instead of people dying, you should never have let that happen. You should have used it in order to
sell stuff from the Beis Hamikdash stuff in Israel.
If there's death. For death, anything is right. So the second of the fashions is everything is mutter. Pasukid Aleph, Gam Oysam Hikdisham Al David Lashem, Makazav Al Zavashar Hikdisham, Mikol Agam Shikibesh. Well, also this stuff, Moshe David Melech donated to God, he gave his Hekdish, right, with the silver and the gold that he brought from all the other nations that he had conquered. May Aram, Moab, Mneamon, Miklisham, Yamalek, Mishval, the desert, Ben Rachel, Melech Tzova. From Arav, from Aram, Moab, Amon, Klisham, Amalek, and from the spoils of the desert, Ben Rachel, the king of Tzova. Now, Amalek is a little bit strange. I had a little idea, and I was thinking about this. It could be that it's not referring to Amalek directly. Because we know that Amalek was all decimated by Sheol and that there was nobody left. It could be that when we say Amalek, it refers to other people who were also evil, who took on the job of Amalek, maybe even moved into Amalek's town, became just as evil, and they were the ones that Amalek was fighting. There's no mitzvah sase midiraisa to fight against Amalek, these Amalek people, but nonetheless, they were the people that were living in the land that was known as Amalek. Maybe that's what it refers to. But yeah, David Shane.
Oh, yeah. Also, they would have an issue because they'd have to destroy everything from Amalek, mm-hmm. that they can't consecrate any of this stuff.
That was the major problem. But yeah, David Shane, the Shubham Akosas, Aram Begin, Malach Shmona, Asar Allah. So David Malach made it for himself a name, right? Just want to write that down. But Yaakov Hashem Beshuvo, when he came back from hitting Aram in the Valley of the Salt, 18,000 men. After he had done that, he did amazing. Now, what exactly was the name that he made for himself? Could be that he buried the dead. That was not usual for a marauding army, an army that was going on, right, to do stuff. That was not normal for them to do. If you check it out over here, the Negev of Aram, the Judean Desert, the Dead Sea, the Valley of Salt is right around here, right below the Dead Sea, on the way down to Eilat. The Edomim, who live in Eilat, which makes a lot of sense, they came up and they were the ones who were destroyed right over there. Either way, there's a lot of different things over here about who's credited with defeating everybody over here. It seems that David HaMelech is the one defeating everybody, but in other places we see that sometimes Abishai is mentioned, Yoav is mentioned, and stuff like that. Could be that there was a bunch of different wars, and at all different times David HaMelech is fighting in Aram at the same time that Yoav is fighting over there, and that it's attributed to David because he's fighting for David HaMelech. There's a lot of stuff regarding that itself. Yoav, by the way, when he went to go fight against Edom. Edom sent a message to him and said, you were told never to fight us. You can't fight. That's why Moshe Rabbeinu went around our land. So how are you fighting us? So Yoav sent a message to David HaMelech. David HaMelech's like, eh. That was back then. Now we're taking over the land. That's what he said over there.
Why couldn't Moshe go through Edom's land?
And Kadosh Baruch Hu said, go around the land.
Any particular reason that we have for
it? Not time to fight Edom yet. Okay. It will be at the end of time, but it's not the time yet. Now is that, right? So David HaMelech, you know, during the time that he was in charge, they were all Tumim. In other words, they were all perfect, and there were people who called themselves more Tumim than anybody else. And that's the idea behind it over here, and that's the concept. So he put in Edom a bunch of princes, right? Brigades, he calls it over here. Throughout all of Edom, he placed these brigades. He called Edom Abadim LeDavid. So all of Edom were then servants to David HaMelech, and Hashem saved David in everything he went. Okay, so number one, he was willing to go all over the place. He collected taxes from the Edomites and did everything like that, right? Number two, he made them servants. Number two, also, so that Esav would know who is in charge and things like that. David HaMelech was king over all of Israel, and David made Mishpat and Tzedakah. The Gemara says, Mishpat and Tzedakah, that first he would do Mishpat, and then after they judged, if he saw that the people needed money, he would give them tzedakah. That's that. The Kolamo to everybody in the all of his nation itself. Now that he fought over Edom, now David's kingdom was firmly entrenched. Meaning he had fought over Moab and Ammon, fought over the Plishtim in the west, Moab and Ammon in the east, Aram Tsova, Aram Naraim, all the different areas up north, and now he was going down south and took over Edom. As soon as he took care of that, then he knew that that's what's going to be. Could be that this is all a remez to what's going to be Lasid Levo as well, that the last nation that we're going to defeat before everything is all good is going to be Edom. That's the idea behind it. But regardless, that's the concept of what it was supposed to be. Now, very quickly, it says when Yoav came back in Malachim Aleph, so it says for 6 months, Yoav remained there until he cut off every male in Edom. When Yoav returned to Bnei Yisrael, the king asked him, why have you left alive the woman? You have to get rid of all the Zecher of Amalek. Why didn't you get rid of the females as well? So Yoav said, I read it as Zecher of Amalek. You should only get rid of the males. So David HaMelech is like, no, it's not Zecher, it's Zecher Amalek. You shouldn't have it whatsoever. What's funny is that we read this every year in the Torah, and it's a real race to be able to read it. So what did they do when they read it? They read Zohar, and they're not Yotze B'chol. They didn't get the mitzvah. Either way, Yoav learned it from his teacher the wrong way. So there's a machlok is what exactly he did. Either Yoav ran to his teacher and immediately killed him because he realized that he had taught him incorrectly. Others say that he didn't kill him, but he told him that you deserve to be killed because you taught me the wrong way, and look at what you did over here, and stuff like that. Now, during this entire time, when he was going against the war, you know, against all these different neighboring countries, technically he never had a directive of a Kadosh Baruch Hu, nor did he have the backing of the people completely. He was willing to do it in order to subdue them before they came up against him, but nonetheless, it does not say that David HaMelech was given permission from Sanhedrin, nor from a Kadosh Baruch Hu to go ahead and do it. That's why they're called personal conquests. Kibush Yochid is what it's called. And his machlok is if Kibush Yochid is Shmei Kibush, is that really a conquering? Meaning, does Shemitah apply in those lands that he conquered? Does Meiser and Trumos, do those apply in those lands? Are they considered like Eretz Yisrael, or are they considered Chutz La'aretz that David HaMelech added on to Eretz Yisrael? What exactly is this considered when it comes there? What were you going to say?
Well, once it becomes part of Eretz Yisrael, all those rules should apply.
The question is, does it ever become part of Eretz Yisrael? Ever.
If they were the Gvul, if they become the Gvul, like...
They become the Gvul of David HaMelech's kingdom, not necessarily the Gvul of Eretz Yisrael. You know what I'm saying? Eretz Yisrael is Eretz Yisrael. David HaMelech's kingdom is, I rule over these people, and they pay me a tribute, but I have no Jews living out there.
Well, then there should be no question. We should know what the Gvul of...
We know what the biblical rule is. We all know that it's going to extend at the times of Mashiach. Governor Mel may have considered himself part of the times of Mashiach, and therefore could extend it a little bit further. There is Machlokas Rambam and Ramban over here about what's going to be, as well as Yerushalmi. There's a lot over here and stuff like that. Either way, we already know that he's in charge. Here it says he 100% got the favor back of all the people, and he was in charge of all Bnei Yisrael, and everyone agreed with it. I mean, they all looked at him and they said, this guy is crazy. He does everything he's supposed to do. They loved him completely, and everything was like that, and that's that.
Why would he take over these people with no Jews in the average? What was the point? Like, I feel like you're just causing yourself a little bit of problem.
Well, because, you're subjugating them for the future. You want to make sure that they're not going to come up against you in the future. You know that these people are a danger for the future. Take care of them now, and know that they're not going to be able to do it. That's the idea behind it. He brings down the whole thing that I told you guys about, Mishpat and Tzedakah. That's saying in itself, right? And then there's a lot more over here, right? He goes on to what Mishpat is and what Tzedakah is and everything like that, right? It goes through that David HaMelech was tremendously just and tremendously righteous, that he would do anything for anyone. That was his righteousness, as well as the fact that he was a Dayan who passed everything and everything like that. David HaMelech never made fun of anybody, never said anything bad about other people, and that's that. Pasuk Tes Zayin. The Yoav ben Tzruya Latzavav, Yoshafat ben Achilud Matkir. Yoav ben Tzruya was in charge of the army. Yoshafat ben Achilud, he was considered the secretary. I guess you can call him the record keeper. Tzadok ben Achitu of Achimelech ben Abiyasar Kohanim. Tzadok and Achimelech, they were the Kohanim in charge. Usroya was the sofer. He was the scribe. Okay, now there's no question that because Yoav was in charge of the army, David HaMelech was able to go and judge Bnei Yisrael properly. Nonetheless, it doesn't just mean that Yoav was the general of the army. He was also the Av Beis Din. He was the people in charge of all the learning over here. All these people were tremendous Talmid Chachamim. They wouldn't be mentioned if they weren't massive Talmid Chachamim, because the only reason why David HaMelech was willing to put them in charge is because they were such massive, massive Talmid Chachamim. Okay, so that's that. The Achimelech over here is the grandson of Achimelech, the Kohen Gadol, who Shlomo Melech killed. Okay? Achimelech over here is the son of Ebyosar. Ebyosar was the son of Achimelech. Uven Yehu ben Yoyada, that crazy Bethlehem, Uven David Kohanim Ayu. Right? So there's been Yehu ben Yoyada. He was the guy in charge. Ben Yehu ben Yoyada, we're going to see quite a bit. There's a question if this Ben Yehu ben Yoyada is the same Ben Yehu ben Yoyada who was around by the times of Shlomo Melech, or it's the same guy. Could have been his grandson.
In the times of Shlomo Melech, who was that one if they're different people? What role did he play?
He was the general of the army of Shlomo Melech. Okay. He's the one that killed Yoav, as well as Shimi ben Gera and all the other people that were out there. Then comes the crazy in the place. It was the Sanhedrin. What it means is that Yoav, without a, Yoav, and Yoav and Eliezer, without a question, was in charge of those of the great courts who were sharp, that's crazy, and wondrous in their ways, which is crazy. They were the ones who were supposed to be in charge of all them. Ubnei David, Kohanim Ayu. The sons of David are considered like Kohanim. Now what's the pshat? It means that even though they weren't literally Kohanim, because David Malik wasn't a Kohen, nonetheless, the Kohanim were allowed to sit and learn all day, and people paid for them to have them to have that happen. David Malik's kids also sat and learned all day, and people paid for them to sit down and learn. That's the idea behind it. It means that there were heads of state, there were people in charge, and there were Talmidei Chachamim that were there. Now, there were 18 battles that David Malik fought all together. Five were for himself, in other words, five for all these conquests out there, and then there were the rest were for Bnei Yisrael. Here we go. Ready? Against Goliath, to secure the 200 Plishti foreskins, against the Plishtim, that was in the time of Shaul, against Keilah, right, that's the time when he was fighting on the side of Achish, right, pretending to go other places, against the Geshurim, Yizrim, and Amalek, and that's also when he was pretending, against Siklag, that's after he came back, against Baal Paratzin, against Plishtim in the Valley of the Rephaim, that was his first battle as a full king after, what's his name, was killed, Mephibosheth. Against Mesega Amma earlier, against Moab, against Hadadezer, against Aram Damasek, against Aram or Edom in the Valley of the Salt, against Ammon, four battles against the sons of Arapha, which we have not done yet. We're going to get to that very, very soon. Okay, so all of these things were going to be there. Many of them were against the Plishtim. These are all the battles of David HaMelech, and that's the ones where he went over here, and that's that. Okay, so here we go. That is the end of Perek Ches. Ready for Perek Ches? Just tell me if you're ready for it. Are you? You look tired. Yeah, you look very, very tired. But don't worry, there's only 13 psukim here. Come on, let's do the 13 psukim. Yeah.
When it says that David's kids were like the Kohanim, could it mean that they went out and taught people? Because a lot of Kohanim
were
in the times of Shaul.
For sure, there's no question whatsoever. They were the new teachers. They were the ones who took over. That's what I mean by they were paid to learn. Okay, they were paid to teach other people as well. But anyway, David. Is there anyone left to the house of Shaul? Ask me, well, chesed before Yonasan, and I will do a chesed with them for the sake of Yonasan. Now, what he wanted to do, the first thing he wanted to do was to bring the Aron Kodesh. That's the first thing he did. And then he wanted to build the base of Mikdash. When he saw that he couldn't do that yet, then he went and to be able to figure out, let's make a campaign against all the enemies completely. Once he did that, he decided he was going to sit down and do Mishpat and Tzedakah. That was the judgments that he had done up until that point. At this point, he realized that he had to go through the oath and see if there's anybody left in Shaul who he could perform a kindness for. That's the idea behind it, and that's what it's supposed to be. It could be, right, that this was before he fought against Amon. It could be it's before anything like that happened. Now, it was very hard to find anybody who was left from Shaul Mel's family. Shaul Mel's family went all into hiding because they were scared out of their mind that they were going to be killed, since what happened to the first couple people who pronounced themselves as Shaul Mel, they were killed. Remember what happened to Ish-Boshet? His head was cut off. See, he was worried about that. So David went on to go see, is there anybody that I can find if I search throughout all of Klal Yisrael?
Was it any descendant of Shaul? It sounds like he just wanted
Yonasan.
He just wanted...
Mephibosheth is still alive. He's not Yonasan.
No, but I'm saying when he said... Well, it doesn't look like he's just looking for any descendant of Shaul.
Actually, no, said let's see Shaul.
For the sake of...
Yeah, granted, but the base Shaul. He doesn't have base Yonasan.
I don't know. To me, it sounds like he's not looking necessarily. The reason why he's looking to do something nice is because he wants to.
No, agreed. He's doing it because of Yonasan, but he's looking in Beis Shaul.
Okay.
That's clear. Plus, in Beis Shaul Eved, he had an Eved that worked for Shaul Amalek's house, Ushmo Tziva. The name of that guy was Tziva. They called him David Yonah Melech Evol. Are you Tziva? And he said, I am your servant. Is there anybody else left in the house of Shaul? I will do a chesed of God for him. There's one son left to Yonasan whose feet are lame. Now this person is supposed to be there. Tziva was a non-Jewish slave, meaning he was an Eved Kenani. When he dies, you know, when the master dies, he's acquired by the master's heir, meaning a Yoresh, which meant that Tziva all worked for Shaul HaMelech's house. They were owned by the only people that were left in Shaul HaMelech's house. That's the reason why David HaMelech called him, right? Because he would know who his master was going to be. So is there anyone left? So... So that's the idea behind it, right? So that's
why would he be serving him currently? Like, it kind of sounds like if David could find Siva, obviously he should be able to find a descendant of Shaul. Like, you know what I'm saying?
Well, the reason why he was trying to explain it every year, his feet are lame. The reason why he hasn't responded to your call looking for somebody is not, it's not that he fears that you're going to harm him, he said. Right? He is the son of Jonas. I mean, he knows that you love Jonas and everything like that, but he's lame. He's embarrassed to come in front of David HaMelech. And that's that. Some say that Siva wanted to embarrass Mephibosheth in order to say, like, oh, it's just Mephibosheth. He's a nobody. He's lame, you know? What do you want to see him for? Where is he? He was living by the house of Mechir, son of Amiel, in the area called Lodavar. He came from that place over there, from the area of Lodavar. Now, obviously, the word Lodavar is something, right?
Yeah.
Lodavar means with nothing. He has no wisdom. He has no Torah. Lodavar means it was a place that had no sages, no scholars. I'm sorry? Yeah, nonetheless, whenever you see something like that, there's always a remez from what we're saying over here. Now, the line over here is Lo Davor, is that even though he was trying to say that he had nothing, that the man was not a Talmud Chacham, that Mephibosheth was an idiot and everything like that, nonetheless, Lo Davor, he had everything. That Mephibosheth was a brilliant man who had a tremendous amount of Chacham.
So
and that
he was
even greater than David HaMelech in that way. When he was saying that, the pasuk is relating about him that really, Lo Davor, he had everything. Yeah, exactly. That's the idea behind it. So that was the idea of what it was supposed to be. So that's that. Now, Vayogel Mephibosheth ben Yonason, whoever it is, Niamlo is. By the way, Vayogel Mephibosheth ben Yonason ben Shaul ol David, he fell down to his face, Vayishtachu, when he bowed down, Yomer Mephibosheth, Vayomine Abdecha, Ayu Mephibosheth, and he said, I am your servant. Vayomel David al Tiro, do not be afraid, Kiaso asayim chol chased bavor Yonason avicha, I'm going to do a chased for you because of Yonason your father. Vashivosi lechos kosidei Shaul avicha, I will give you back all the fields of Shaul your father. That's a total left moshul, you can eat by my house whenever you want at any point. So he told him, number one, you don't have any reason to be afraid. Okay? I'm not going to hurt you and I'm not going to do anything to you. That's number one. Okay? That's number one. Number two, right? The idea of what he was trying to say over here is that I know that up until this point, Siva has been in charge of all the stuff that's going on by you. So don't worry. From now on, I will make sure that you get all your fields back, right? Everything will be taken care of, so you don't have to worry about it whatsoever. Siva is very upset about this. He just lost all the fields that he'd been taking care of for so long with all of his people. And he's like, he's the guy. But David HaMelech, right, gave it right back and everything there. He gave it right back to Mephibosheth and all of them were there. Now, you couldn't know as well that since Mephibosheth was around for a while and hadn't claimed the property of Shaul HaMelech, all of the property of Shaul HaMelech went into the hands of the king of David HaMelech. So David HaMelech said, I'm not keeping it. I'm giving it straight back to you, so you're the one in charge and you're the one who's going to be taken care of and everything like that. He bowed down, said, you know, that was Mephibosheth. And he said, what is your servant that you should turn your face to a dead dog that is like me? Okay, so it's like that. So the line that he says is like this. He said, true, a dog that is alive is better than a lion that is dead. But I'm not even a live dog. I'm a dead dog. I can't move from my spot. I'm a helpless cripple. And that's what he was trying to say over here. There's nothing I can do. By the way, do you remember the line? Right? The line that Shalom Melech said? Shalom Melech said to David Melech, what am I, a dog that you're doing after me? And David Melech said to Shalom Melech, after one who is like a... You're chasing after me. I'm just a dead dog. The original line was by Shaul HaMelech. David HaMelech said back, and now it comes back that Mephibosheth, the only living, remaining, real descendant of Shaul HaMelech, was this guy right over here.
But second that Shaul said that.
Yeah. The king called to Tziva, the servant of Shaul, and he said to him, all that Shaul owned in all of his house I have given to the son of your master, meaning Mephibosheth. You should work the land for him, you and your sons and your servants, Vaybesa, right? And you should bring him, right? You bring in its produce. And then your servant, you know, the son of your servant will have bread, and he'll eat. You'll continually eat bread at my table if you want. Siva, meanwhile, had become very prosperous. He had 15 children and 20 avadim. Well, he's an Eved Kenani. He can sleep with whoever he wants when it comes to the shvachos, right? So he slept with all of them. He had 15 kids, 20 avadim of his own, even though he's only Eved Kenani. And he's like, are you kidding me? I just lost everything? Everything he had, he had control on everything whatsoever. He never, no longer saw himself as a slave. He only saw himself as an employee of what was once the royal family. David Melech is telling him right now, that's not true. You are 100% a slave. You're still an Eved Kenani. You have not lost that whatsoever. And you're going to be the person in charge. Now, not only Mephibosheth is going to be from here. Mephibosheth had a child. Micha was the child of Mephibosheth. Not the Micha that we know of from, you know, the Micha stories. Micha was going to be able to eat. Mephibosheth would always eat at David Melech's table. But Siva would have to be in charge of Micha and make sure that he had something in order to eat completely. There was just enough people to be able to go. It's not a Mephibosheth. Siva said to the king, whatever my master the king commands his servant, that's what your servant will do. Mephibosheth will eat, right? Or will eat on my table like one of the sons of the king. And that's that. Now there is a way in how to understand this exactly, right? Whether or not he's saying that Mephibosheth will eat at your table, at the king's table, or will eat at my table, referring to Micha being able to eat at the table itself. Regardless, no matter what, Mephibosheth for sure was going to have everything taken care of him, but Siva was obviously upset about it. He did not want this to happen. Well, Mephibosheth ben Kasa, Shmo Micha. Mephibosheth had a young son, his son's name was Micha. Chomosha based Siva of other Mephibosheths. All those who lived in Siva's house were now servants of Mephibosheth. Mephibosheth Yoshi Yerushalayim, he stayed in Yerushalayim. He was shokan a metal tummy to woke up because he always ate by the table of the king. He was lame with two legs, so he didn't go back and forth and back and forth. And even though it was a bother for David Melech to have it there, in no way did it detract from David's desire to show kindness to the son of Yehonah's son, and he took care of everything that he could possibly need, and he was all like that. Now Mephibosheth, says the Gemara, was a Talmid, was a Rebbe of David Melech. So it could be that what he was saying is that not only do I want him to be a person who's eating at my table, but he's my Rebbe. I want my Rebbe to be with me at all times. I want him to take care of whatever he needs to have. That's what he can have. It could be that that's what he was telling him as well. Can't tell you exactly.
So he had two lame legs with him, that's...
Because it was a bother for David Melech to take care of him. Nonetheless, he was told he had to take care of him. We'll stop with that, guys.